Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the WYLK studios,
the
Jason Barsky
Show.
Here we go.
I want to welcome to the show the president of St. Luke's Hospital, the Monroe County campus, Dr. Don Seipel. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Just to clarify, I'm not a physician.
Oh, okay. Now it says doctor here. Did my producer Johnny Lucas just assume you were a doctor?
I guess.
Johnny, he's just a man. He's a more mere mortal.
Yeah, I'm not that smart.
Well, it makes two of us sometimes. We're dealing with, we're living in unprecedented times right now. This is something brand new for all of us, dealing with COVID-19. You've been all over the media recently, and I'm happy to have you here this morning to talk about...
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. To talk about COVID-19, how it's been affecting Monroe County, how it's been affecting St. Luke's Monroe campus, and what you want people to know. And it's great timing on your part to have this set up right now, to have you caught on the phone, because just all morning and yesterday, just dealing with a lot of people saying it's a hoax, it's overblown, this is something the media is hyping to scare people. They want us, we want people to die, and it makes my head explode. What do you want people to know based off of your experience?
Well, probably the first and foremost message is to take this seriously, stay home, socially distance, please listen. I think what we're seeing in Monroe County is, Monroe County is kind of an entry point for individuals into the state, specifically from New York and New Jersey. And if you look at the state map that reports what's going on, you can slowly see the spread happening from the the western or the eastern part of the state moving west. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from what we're seeing here with our patients, it's real. It's here. We have community spread in Monroe County, meaning a large majority of the individuals have it. About 2/3 of the patients we're caring for inpatient are COVID-related. A number of them are very serious, in critical care on life support. We've seen over the last 3 weeks the increase in severity and intensity of individuals with this coming to us. And, over the weekend, there was a press conference with the governor on Saturday, and he kind of downplayed Monroe County. And I felt it was time, along with some of my colleagues, we felt that it was time to kind of speak out and say, no, this is real. I think the more seriously we take this as a community and socially isolated, we all want to get back to our normal lives, me included. And the more seriously we take this, the quicker we're going to get back. But understand, this is not a 2-week shelter in place. This disease, this virus, when you look at it in other communities, it is probably an 8-week cycle, at minimum. This is a good couple weeks or a couple months to get through this. And it's here. And then my other real great concern is we have Easter and Passover coming up. And, when we say shelter in place, we say to self-isolate. You should only be having dinner with the people that normally live in your home. And when we look at these individuals, when we first started this, we were screening for individuals who traveled to high priority countries, China and some of these other countries. Then it was, were you from New York and New Jersey? And today we have community spread, and much of many of the individuals that we see today, are it's familial, you know, and they've spread it amongst their family, or they have a tie to New York and New Jersey through work or family. And I just can't emphasize it enough, the importance to heed the warnings.
We're talking to Don Seipel. You're the president of the St. Luke's Hospital Monroe campus. Okay, a lot of people want to know the assumption, and maybe there's truth to it. I know it's been talked about a little bit in some of the articles I've read, is that the majority of your patients are escaping New York and New Jersey to get health care in the Poconos.
I don't know that the majority of our patients are escaping New York and Jersey. I will say in the last week, we've seen an uptick of the number of patients who are coming to us from those areas for care. But many of the patients we care for are our residents. We do have a high number of residents in this county who commute to New York and New Jersey. What I would say is early on, the population that was being hit the hardest by this were the 40 and 50-year-olds. So I'll make the assumption that they were probably the New York commuters or had family there. The older individuals, our seniors, were listening, I would say. We saw very few seniors coming to us because they were sheltering in place. They were listening. Now that there's community spread, the age range has kind of broadened more. But I think initially the indication was that our seniors were listening and sheltering in place worked. We do see more folks. You know, look, the folks from New York and New Jersey are like one of our greatest assets here in Monroe County. You know, our tourism, we love to have them. This is one instance they're here. I'm just asking for them to comply like everyone else in the county. And it's not just them who aren't complying. We all just need to listen and stay put.
Yeah. It's one of those weird areas where when tourism makes up so much of your economy, you don't want to say, sorry, stay away. But at this point, like, kind of want them to stay away, at least not just mixing and mingling, coming in, leaving. And for the most part, it seems like people are locked down. When it comes to the patients, you mentioned between that like 40 and 50, 55-year-old range for a lot of patients.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When it comes to the most severe, the patients who are on ventilators, the patients whose mm-hmm. cases are up in the air, will they make it or not?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are we seeing any anomalies at all where a perfectly healthy person with no pre-existing conditions is suffering severely? Or are we still in an area where if someone comes in and they're really, you know, on the verge, you know, knocking on death's door, they're not doing well, that they still are somebody with pre-existing conditions consistently?
So certainly, we've seen across the country and here in Monroe County, you know, we're saying, you know, like our seniors and that are particularly vulnerable to this. There's some stats that support that around the country. We're just starting to see that age group affected by it here. You know, of the patients that we have, there's a mix, and, you know, some of them were individuals who maybe weren't as healthy, and certainly they're going to be more susceptible. But there are certainly people who I would consider normal, healthy individuals who have gotten this and who haven't done well with it. So, you know, it's affecting everyone. And I think, you know, I'll give you a quick story. I was sitting with my father. He lives with me, and we were having dinner, and he was telling me, this is, now mind you, he's 80. This is something that's affecting the old people. And I said, Dad, it's affecting people my age. And, you know, because he listens to the media and the news all day, and you know what he's hearing. And it was kind of a moment that he stopped and paused and listened to me. And so certainly younger people do better with it, but there are people who are healthy and for whatever reason, they haven't done well with this, and they haven't had, you know, pre-existing health conditions. And that's why I really ask people to heed the warning that this can affect all of us. We just don't know. And now I will also say a large majority of people get this and do well. Some probably have it. Many have heard, you know, different statistics on people who have this in our carrier and probably don't know they even have it, but they do have the ability to spread it. There are a number of people who come to our ER and are healthy enough to go home, you know, not be admitted, and we tell them to go home and, you know, like you would with the flu, take, you know, some over-the-counter stuff for the aches and drink a lot of water, and they do really well. But the small subset who don't do well and are the most critically ill of all of them, they cover the spectrum of, you know, age and health, you know, their pre-existing health.
It's I know it's too early to have definitive data, but what are the percentages right now of, first of all, are you testing everyone? Do you have enough tests to go around to make sure you're testing everybody?
So what I would say is that the pipeline for testing is very limited and constrained. And so, no, we're not testing everyone. And we're at the point now where we'll test inpatients because we need to know if you have symptoms. We need to know whether you have it or not. I will tell you, our network is close to having in-house capabilities, but we're not there yet. So we're relying either on the state, and there's very defined guidelines who we send to the state to be tested, or a commercial lab. And I know that that commercial lab is working around the clock every day of the week, but they only have so much throughput. And so, you know, the delays can be anywhere from 5 to 7 days to get test results back. And so we, you know, if you come to us and you have COVID symptoms, we're going to, just like during the flu season, we're going to assume that you have it because that's what's out there, and send you home and tell you to self-quarantine and take care of yourself. And if your disease progresses to the point where it's more serious and you need our care, certainly come back. And so I think, you know, you bring a good point. You know, when you look at the state website for COVID-19, I think those numbers are good in a directional sense to know how an area is doing, but it's not truly representative of what, from a, when they have the confirmed positives on there. Because unlike, there's a, some countries that I know that have done more wide-scale testing, in this country, we just don't have that bandwidth or capacity to do that type of testing.
Not yet. All right. Would you find, you know, when it comes to people who are skeptical, do you find that the HIPAA laws, even though they've been loosened a little bit, if those were loosened a little bit more, we'd be able to get more specific information out and people might take it more seriously if they were like, oh, it's not just these generic vague numbers. We're living in a time where people, you could put a fact in front of them, they go, I don't care. But if you put a face to it or a name, yeah, or if people signed over, would you, do you think that would help?
Yeah, I think if people, if I could be more specific, which I have to be careful about what we're experiencing here. The fact that I took the time on a Sunday at noon to do a health, you know, to call the media together to do a news conference on behalf of public health is a huge statement. It's not something that I take or we take lightly. And if they could just take a peek into our critical care units and see our caregivers and the type of patients we're caring for and where they're at, I think it would be an eye opener. I think people would certainly change their habits and listen.
One question I had in regards to, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of my notes here because I have all these questions I wanted to ask you. When it comes to the testing, what percentage of the tests that you're giving are coming back positive? And I know it's probably a small number right now. And what percentage of the positive tests are then being sent home? Like, what's the breakup there?
Yeah. You know, I don't have that. In fact, that was something we were looking at today. We pulled our spreadsheet up of everyone, and actually that was something I asked them to take a look at for me today. I will tell you, as far as sending home, so patients that come to our ER, the majority of them were just not testing because they're health, they're not in a situation where they go home. But as far as inpatients, so there are people that get admitted with this to the hospital that we can help, and they do go home. I don't have those percentages, to be honest with you. You know, it's a small percentage to get to that point where they need this critical care. But what I will tell you is it is, when they get to that point, it is really dire. And we don't have a lot of options in treating these types of patients.
Gotcha. What is the current status of the hospital today as far as capacity? Are you nearing capacity, or do you still have a lot of room? If, you know, how many more patients can you currently handle?
Yeah. Well, this capacity is a little different when you look at this, because the real capacity that, you know, hospitals have for this are really for that has to be considered as their ability to handle critical care patients. You know, med-surg patient capacity is not really as much of a concern. We have that capacity, and all hospitals probably could say they have that capacity. It's these critical care patients that we get. They consume a lot of resources from people and supplies and whatnot. And, you know, we're fortunate we're part of a large network. They're in a county that's lagging where we are right now as this progression of this disease. So in many ways, that's good. So, you know, we have the ability to work within our network to send patients there if we don't have the ability. We've also developed surge plans here to create more capacity from a critical care standpoint. I think what's imperative is that people understand, when I have people calling me now, the community is very generous and wants to help. And right now, our needs really are very specific. And I said the one thing everyone can do is to stay home and help flatten this curve, because by doing that, we reduce the need on our critical care departments in our hospitals. And it's just not us, it's all the hospitals that are in our areas that are affected by this.
Do you, with hospitals becoming part of networks, do you have the ability, are you able to, or are you talking to other hospitals outside of that network just to kind of communicate, hey, here's what we're experiencing, you might want to be aware? Is it like an email chain where you're sharing ideas of what to do, or is it still kind of in-network?
No. I mean, our competitor here in Monroe County, I've spoken with their CEO often, and, you know, we have the ability to communicate with each other. And I have some contacts in New Jersey that are a little bit further ahead of us. And I was on the phone with one of them on Sunday, just kind of sharing ideas and, you know, just practices and, you know, like just trying to learn from each other. I mean, we have a lot of great, we prepare for disasters. I would equate this as, you know, we talk about that once in 100-year storm.
Yeah.
This is probably that once in 100-year health event. And so hospitals are great at preparing for, you know, disasters and emergencies. And,
right.
You know, and this is no different, but this is beyond probably what most hospitals plan for, you know. And they're doing a great job of really rising to the occasion, being creative, even the community, some of the creativity and ingenuity that we're seeing from the community is just incredible.
Gotcha. One or two more questions here. You mentioned your supplies. How are you as far as necessary supplies, the personal protection equipment for the PPEs? Where are you at with this? With masks? Are you seeing shortages? Are you running low?
Yeah. You know, we're doing good. It's one of our top priorities. So as a network, you know, most hospitals have an incident command structure for emergency management that's set up. We have a network incident command, and we have one at each of our hospitals. And we've actually set up a separate incident command just for personal protective equipment. So we have a whole group of people who work on ensuring we have the right supplies. You know, they're sourcing it, and then what I would also say is most hospitals that are in areas that have been hit by this have gone into a conservation mode with their PPE. So as an example, an N95 mask you might normally, you know, wear it once, you throw it away, you go into the next patient room, you wear it, you throw it away. We're now in a mode where we're conserving, you know, and extending the use and life of our PPE, wiping things off, keeping them. Today, we're starting a process of UV sterilization here where we'll take our N95s and write our names on them and put them in a UV sterilizer at the end of the shift and give them back the next day. I feel really good. You know, we've gotten two shipments through Pima, which ultimately came from FEMA, for personal protective equipment, and especially N95s. So, you know, I feel really good about our personal protective equipment. It is imperative that we have that for our frontline healthcare workers to ensure their safety. And a lot of people behind the scenes working to support them to make sure they have what they need.
Gotcha. I have one more question that I want to ask you for some advice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is St. Luke's in Monroe County, the Monroe campus, are you guys experimenting at all or prescribing the hydroxychloroquine Z-Pack thing? Is that something you guys are dipping your toe in to see how it works, or is that something you're staying away from?
Yeah, you know, I honestly can't really comment on that. I can tell you we're trying everything we can with these patients.
That's a fair answer. And I said that, I wasn't sure if you would. All right, here's the advice I need, and this is for all of media. There's a guy on hold ready to come on the air, and I know is he wants to say he doesn't agree with the media. He thinks the media is fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. Okay,
right.
I'm not saying I'm fear-mongering. What advice would you give to people in the media, people like me, to walk that fine line between information, facts, and fear-mongering?
You know, I think, first of all, just having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk, I think, is really good. I think that, you know, reporting on the facts, I think is good. I think it's important for people sometimes to step away from the information, too, because I think people are staying at home and they become consumed by it. And I would say that, you know, all in all, if we just listen to what's being asked of everyone and we comply, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through it regardless. we're just going to get through it quicker and with less effect if we all listen. And I just think, you know, report the facts, encourage people to comply. Don't report on something if it's not, you know, validated, you know, because I think there's a lot of people out there saying things that aren't accurate. You know, I occasionally look at my news apps and read some things, and, you know, we just have to be careful. There's not a lot known about this virus yet. It's still evolving. There's some sources of truth out there, the CDC being one, you know, what you're hearing from different hospitals that are dealing with this in these hot zones. Just be careful. You know, there's just a lot of false data out there.
Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time this morning, and best of luck. Keep fighting the fight. Don Seipel, the president of St. Luke's Monroe campus in Monroe County. Thank you for being on the Jason Barsky Show here on WILK.
Yep, thanks for taking the time.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.